I suppose, as they say, it's the luck of the draw. And when Scott sent me over Isaiah 5, 1-7, and the way his justice theme might go, it happened to land on this well-deserved holiday time. Although I don't know what came first, the holiday week or the Isaiah series plan he had produced. One source I looked at for this passage began with the following, and I quote exactly, "I think we might well call Isaiah's fifth chapter the chapter of woes, and for that reason we tend to skip it by. It's all too judgmental and too depressing. We say we want something to cheer us on our way. We want something to lift our spirits. We don't want all this judgmental stuff. We want to hear, we say, about the love of God. We don't want all this Old Testament stuff. That all went out of the window when Jesus came and showed us what God is really like. As always, I've given it a try and had to add a couple of verses to add more justice. Do you consider yourself a connoisseur of fine wine? I've got a favourite Italian red, but otherwise no particular choices. And while our session clerk, I was very happy to finish off our communion wine, which comes from Sandra and John Anderson's Choices Vineyards. I did, however, earlier in the week, watch the news, and despite all the negatives 2020 has brought, 2020 has been the best year ever for the UK grape harvest, including the red grapes. And I'm not sure if it's the first ever, but at least the best ever to produce an English red wine. A great winemaker is always concerned about his vineyard. In Isaiah 5, God is the vineyard owner. He is deeply interested in the care of the children of Israel. And Jesus has come looking to bring mercy and justice. Isaiah 5 is called the Song of the Vineyard. As the song goes on, it is clear that the farmer loves his vineyard. In Isaiah 5, God is the vineyard owner, and the children of Israel and men of Judah are the garden of his delight. God has cared for them through the centuries, from Egypt to the Promised Land. Everything is done with great care and love. Isaiah writes, the farmer puts his vineyard on a high hill, which is Jerusalem. In Isaiah, God was the caretaker of this vineyard. Despite careful attention from the vine dresser, the vineyard produced only wild grapes. The vineyard's failure to produce better fruit forced the owner to remove his attentiveness. The result was the exile to Babylon. If the land was unable to produce with proper care, what would it do without it? Nothing was spared to make it fruitful, as many vineyards were planted in rocky and hilly soil. The exertion to gather up the stones and to terrace the vineyard with them demonstrated how hard God had worked with Israel. The Isaiah passage tells us that after God had done the toil of establishing the vineyard, he had hired labourers to care for his vineyard. The labourers were the teachers of the faith. Isaiah compares God to a diligent vineyard keeper who becomes severely disappointed with his crop. The vineyard keeper does everything possible to make his crop productive, yet it yields wild grapes, literally bad fruit in verse 2. As verse 7 reveals, the vineyard is a metaphor for God's people. They had been given every opportunity to get it right, but had not done so. God looked for justice among his people, but only saw bloodshed. He desired the fruit of righteousness in their daily lives, but only heard a cry of distress. In the New Testament, Jesus refers back to Isaiah 5 in Matthew 21. Jesus has chosen the Song of the Vineyard to make his point. He knows, and the Pharisees know, that the Song of the Vineyard is about God coming to Jerusalem, the place of his holy dwelling, to look for the fruit of justice and mercy. The parable begins with a situation that was business as usual in Roman-occupied Palestine. A landowner establishes a vineyard complete with a fence, a wine press, and even a watchtower. He then became an absentee landowner, returning to his own country. Tenants were in charge of overseeing the productivity of the vineyard and paying the rent to the owner at harvest time, in the form of a share of the produce. So far, so good. Business was working as usual. Then everything came apart. When the owner's slaves arrived to collect his share of the produce, the tenants attacked them, even beating one and killing another. The owner of the vineyard then simply sent another delegation of slaves to collect the rent. Those slaves were treated even worse than the first. Surely by now the owner would send in troops or some form of armed enforcement of his rights. But no. Instead, he sends his son. The owner thinks that the thugs who've abused two delegations of slaves will respect his son and heir. In a foolish decision, the tenants reason that if they kill the son, they will get his inheritance. It is plain that the vineyard owner is God, the Father, and Jesus is his only son. Jesus is telling the Jews, I know you're plotting to kill me. I know you have a wrong understanding of God, your Creator. They wanted to own their own religion without respect to God. As long as God was held afar off, this was acceptable. But they were not interested in a God who made any demands of them. They would give him some lip service, but wanted him to stay out of their affairs. You and I know that this terrible story does not end with the death of God's Son. Because Jesus was the Son of God, because he had through his entire life resisted every temptation put before him by the forces of evil, because he had fulfilled all the prophecies made about the Messiah, because he had successfully carried every sin we have committed. His sacrifice and substitution for us was accepted by God. Everyone knows John 3:16, but there is another verse like it. It's found in 1 John 4:10. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Hopefully none of this takes place in our world today, or does it? As Isaiah's song conveys, bearing bad fruit carries consequences. The vinekeeper God withdrew his labours and allowed the vineyard to become a waste filled with briars and thorns, with hedges and fences torn down, wild animals freely foraged and trampled its plants. This is a striking picture of a person's life apart from God. Those beastly adversities from which God often protects us begin to take free range in our lives. Without the nurturing hand of God to guide us through them, we can feel as though we have become a wasteland. Fortunately, we know that this is not the end of the story, and Isaiah's Song of the Vineyard concludes on a note of judgment. But other messages in the book tell us that this is not God's last word. God allows his people to feel the impact of their life choices, but he does not leave them there. Throughout the book of Isaiah, God invites his people to return to him and be restored. God wants our lives today to continue to respond to the many injustices in today's world, just as he had wanted them to do back in the time of Jesus, and even further back in the days of Isaiah. Rachel spoke about the justice provided by Compassion UK for the children. And there are many other areas that we can seek to support. Lands are still being dispossessed. just as they were many years ago during the Highland clearances. And still we find countless men, women and children becoming today's refugees, forced from their lands for their own safety. The list goes on as we seek justice for climate change, the modern slavery on our doorstep of human trafficking, again for which we seek justice. May it be our prayer that we will continue to work God's vineyard to eradicate such things and help create a world filled with justice and peace. Amen. Let's sing our final hymn this morning, filled with compassion for all the people.